for most of us, drawing water is not part of our daily life anymore. We turn on the tap and it flows, quite the blessing. But in the ancient world, drawing water was very ordinary. You went back to the same place, you lowered the jar, you filled it, brought it up, went home, and back again the next day. And that is the rhythm behind our readings, because they all ask the same question. Where do you go when you're empty? Human beings, we're not self-sustaining. We're not fountains. We're containers. We are designed to receive life from somewhere beyond ourselves. So which source are we drawing from? And this is where we begin today. Earlier we heard Psalm 23. And it's so beautiful as it begins with God's character. Your steadfast love, O Lord, exceeds to the heavens. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. And then the line that anchors everything, for with you is the fountain of life. In you do we see light. Now, it's important to remember the geographical context of Israel. It wasn't lush land. Rain was seasonal and much of the terrain was dry. So the villages formed around springs and fountains because it meant stability. That was life for the animals, sustenance and crops for the people. Now, a fountain, we see the word makor is used, fountain. It means a living spring that is flowing water, fresh water, in comparison to stored water. It's not stagnant, and it doesn't have to wait until the next storm. So when they heard the fountain of life, they heard the only reliable resource on land. Because the psalmist isn't saying that God gives occasional refreshment, but that life itself begins and continues in him. Because without him, we wouldn't have a sustaining current. There is no inner spring or supply without God. And notice the movement in the psalm. Refuge under his wings. Feast on the abundance of his house. Drinking from the river of his delights. This is abundance language. Because God is not just enough. He's not barely enough. He's overflowing. And so if we read Psalm 36 as the only text we've had, we might assume everyone is drinking from this beautiful fountain. But Jeremiah tells us otherwise. He says, "Be appalled, O heavens, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water." Two evils against God. First, they forsook the fountain. And second, they dug something else. So look at that order. The digging happens after the departure. And that speaks to us in our lives, because when communion with God weakens, we start building alternatives in our own strength. And again, it's important to understand the difference. Living water meant flowing water that's moving, fresh, and self-replenishing. In comparison, a cistern was carved out of rock. It was hard work and required so much planning. It gave the illusion of security as water stored for later. However, it depended entirely on when the rains came. It could not produce its own. And if it had a crack in it, it would lose all the water. So Jeremiah's accusations was that Israel was becoming self-reliant. They preferred stored water over the living spring. They wanted something predictable, something contained that they could see, that they could themselves manage. And God called this appalling. Why? Because the exchange is irrational. To go from something that is free-flowing, living water, to a cracked, possibly cracked human-made cistern made no sense unless control mattered more to people than dependence on God. And unfortunately, this is not just their problem. It's a problem that persists today. In our lives, we dig cisterns. They may be an achievement. They may be relying on our reputation or busyness that distracts us from emptiness we may feel or distracts us from God. None of these things themselves are inherently evil. Achievement isn't evil. Reputation isn't evil. The evil is trusting in them as your source of fulfillment. And so the tragedy in Jeremiah was not that the fountain had dried up, but that the people stopped drawing from this fountain of life. And then in John 4, we meet a person that's actually living in that truth. It's a story we know well. One person at the well with a jar that could not sustain her. So we see Jesus arrives in Samaria, and he sits behind a well at noon. Already there are details that matter, because the Jews and the Samaritans did not mix. There was history, hostility, suspicion, and division among them. A Jewish rabbi would certainly not normally stop and speak to a Samaritan woman. Yet Jesus does. It is about noon when she comes to draw the water. And that's important too, because women usually went in the cooler hours, early mornings or evenings, and they went together. Noon was the hottest, the sun was scorching at that time of day. You only went then if you did not want company at all. And that's when she is introduced as having gone. She's simply going alone, living her routine, drawing water, carrying it home, and returning tomorrow. Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And she's surprised. She knows the boundaries. She says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman from Samaria?" And Jesus answers her, "If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, what she hears is literal. She's just thinking about the well. But Jesus is speaking deeper. He's speaking spiritually. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water of the well will be thirsty again." Because that well is not the problem. It cannot do what she needs it to do. And that is the pattern she followed, that we follow. We can keep coming back. We can keep filling the jar. We can keep just about surviving, but we will be thirsty again. And then he names her story, 5 husbands and a man that she lives with is not even her husband. But when he points this out, he's not humiliating her. He's revealing another one of the spiritual cisterns that she's carrying in her life. She has tried to build security. She has tried to find stability, but each attempt has cracked under the weight of expectation. And yet Jesus doesn't actually condemn that thirst. He says, "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of life, a spring of water welling up to eternal life." When Jesus speaks of the spring of life, he's pointing towards the Spirit. The living water is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, an internal spring rising from within us. So when Jesus names her story, she feels the weight of being known, being seen. And she shifts the conversation, perhaps uncomfortable. But perhaps she's starting to recognize who's before her. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain," she said, "but you say that Jerusalem is the place. It sounds like she's beginning a doctrinal debate, but it's slight deflection. When hearts feel exposed, it's easier to argue about the location rather than to acknowledge we feel exposed. And Jesus doesn't bite. He redefines worship. He says the hour is coming when neither this mountain nor Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So the question for them is no longer, which mountain? This mountain or Jerusalem? But it is where can life be found? Because worship isn't about the geography, the location, worshiping here or in our homes. It's about access to the living God. In other words, worship flows from the fountain. It flows from the Holy Spirit within us, not from the various systems we have in our life. Because we can continue rituals and still be spiritually dry. We can come to church every Sunday, have perfect attendance. We can sing every hymn, and we can take communion regularly. But we can still fail in trying to gain sustenance out of our habits rather than from Christ. Because then we see the moment that everything hinges on. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus replies, I, who you are speaking to, am he. Because the fountain is not a concept, it is a person. Jeremiah said, they have forsaken me, the foundation of living waters. And now that fountain is revealed at the well. God is not offering mere refreshment. He is offering himself into eternal life. So after the disciples return, the conversation ends and they're told something small but important later on in the passage. The woman left her water jar, and went into the town. She leaves the jar. The jar was the reason she went to the well. It was the object that defined her entire routine. It was her daily necessity. But she left it behind. Because when you encounter the fountain, you no longer clutch to the cisterns as your source, because the fountain becomes your source. And then we see she runs to the very people she had been avoiding. She runs away from staying hidden at noon. She runs into town and she calls out saying, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She's bearing witness because living water does not stay contained. It moves outward. That is the mission of our lives. We are not contained. We are not a light hidden under a bushel. Once we've tasted that living water, it overflows out from outside of us. And remarkably, the town listens. They hear and they believe. What we see began as a quiet conversation at the well becomes a transformation for the whole community. And that is the difference between the cistern and the living water. Because our cisterns are private and defensive. We protect what we have stored, what we have gained. We guard it. But the living water of the Holy Spirit within us, it overflows. It produces courage and witness and harvest. So where in our lives do we try and fill ourselves up from sources that cannot sustain us? And some cisterns look pretty presentable. Some look religious. But if we are not rooted in Christ himself, they will crack. The Samaritan woman left her jar because she discovered something greater than what it carried. When we drink from this source, light follows. Through spending time reading the word and being shaped in it, it's by turning toward Christ in dependence It's choosing reliance on God over self-reliance. And it is the deep, honest prayer unto our Father and unto our Savior. That is drinking from the source. So as we go forward in this week and into our daily lives, each morning, before you come to the Lord, ask yourself, each one of us, ask ourselves, am I living from stored water or from the spring within that is the Holy Spirit? And bring it to the Lord and ask him, reveal to me, where are the cisterns in my life that I'm perhaps guarding, that we may give it over to the Holy Spirit? For he says, know me in everything. And everything isn't some things, it's everything.